Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today, and we'll go through a couple announcements real quickly. And first, let's count up any salvations that we have that I'm unaware of. Any salvations to report in the back? Any salvations? Anybody? How about in this section? Any salvations? 5, 2, 3, so 10, 4, 14, 16 so far. So, all right, 18. You guys are testing my math skills. I'm trying. It's like, man, I'm not that young anymore, right? Over here, this section, any salvations to report? 1. Anybody else? All right, great job, everybody. So 19 extra salvations. Of course, we do have soul winning this afternoon around 1:45. And other than that, it's relatively light month. Our monthly prayer meeting is in 4 weeks at the end of the month. But great job, everybody, on the soul winning marathon earlier this week. You know, we had, I think, what was it, 83 salvations for the total? So great job, everybody. Obviously, you know, God is blessing. You know, everyone's doing a great job and working very hard. And, you know, this time we'll have Brother Rafi lead us in another song.
Amen. Tayo po'y muling umawit. Punta po tayo sa hymn number 247, hymn number 247, hymn number 247, hymn number 247, save, save. Say amen po. Punin dyan na po. Awitin po natin first stanza hanggang last stanza. Hymn number 247, save, save. I found a friend. First stanza, ready? Sing. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you.
Amen. For a scripture reading, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we will only be reading verses 13 down to verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Please say amen if you're there. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Bless the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, you would please give us good weather for our soul winning and our fellowship later on. Please bless the preaching of your word, Lord, and the preacher of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we are here in Matthew chapter 3, and we're just looking at these last five verses in the chapter, but a short number of main text verses does not always equal short sermon, okay? Obviously, baptism is a big topic, and when you hear a sermon like this, you know, like baptism, you might have a tendency to say, I already know this. Well, let me just say this, that I remember, you know, before I got baptized, when my pastor talked to me about it, I thought, well, I got baptized as a baby because I was a new Christian. Right? I mean, I was saved, but I didn't understand what the purpose of baptism was, or when you do it, or how you do it, or why you do it. And so here's the thing, at a church our size, we have to realize that, hey, maybe some people already know certain things, but we have new people coming in, and certain things are things that others aren't aware of, right? And so even in a sermon like this, you know what, even if you've been saved for a long time, it's always good to be edified. There still might be something new you learn. And of course, there are going to be people that learn in this church because there's people at different levels of knowledge and things like that. And so we're looking at the baptism of Jesus here in Matthew 3. Point number one, baptism is a work. Baptism is a work. The Bible says in Matthew 3, verse 13, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, Galilee to Jordan is said to be 65 kilometers. Because you read over that, you figure that, you know, Jesus walks from across the street and is like, all right, ready to be baptized. And actually, it's 65 kilometers, which the best case scenario from what I read would be like a 2 days journey, but possibly 3 days or more or whatever. And so what you're seeing is Jesus puts in work to be baptized. And see, what the Bible's trying to show you is this. Baptism is a work. It's something you choose to do. It is your will. It is your decision. Well, here's the thing. Are we saved by works? No. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And getting baptized is a work of righteousness which you are doing. It is your work that you are doing. Well, we're not saved by our works. And so here's the thing. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely nothing to do whatsoever. You can be baptized and go to hell, and you cannot get baptized and go to heaven because it comes down to what you believe, not based on what you do. So it says he came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And John has a humble statement where he's like, basically, hey, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. It's like, I'm baptizing you when you're the Son of God. But Jesus says in verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, when the Bible says suffer, that is a way to say allow. So what he's saying is, then he allowed him to be baptized. What the Bible says is, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I've had people say to me, because there are people that think you have to be baptized to wash away sins, right? A lot of people believe that. A lot of churches teach that baptism washes away sins. And one of the things they'll say is this, well, if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved, why was Jesus baptized? I've had people tell me that. Well, here's the thing. If baptism washes away your sins, if that was the point, if that was the purpose, Did Jesus have sins? No. So he wouldn't have been baptized. Look, if the purpose of baptism was to wash away sins, guess who would not have gotten baptized? The Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's sinless. So actually, him being baptized is proof baptism does not wash away your sins because he's sinless, right? Him being baptized was not to wash away sins or get sins forgiven or get saved, but it was to fulfill all righteousness. And this righteousness is what we do when we get baptized. It's a choice that we make, right? Turn in your Bible to John 1. John 1. John chapter 1. You say, well, I don't think that you can go to heaven if you're not baptized. Well, what about the thief on the cross? It's a pretty famous story that whether you know much about the Bible or not, there's a good chance you're familiar with the story of the thief on the cross. Was he baptized? Nope. Why did he go to heaven? Because he believed. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Right? Consistently throughout the Bible, it's to him that believeth. But to him that believeth but worketh not, his faith is counted for righteousness. Right? And so, of course, we are not perfectly righteous, but when you get saved, you're imputed, the Bible says, with the righteousness of God. And so when God looks at you, he's going to say 100% innocent because you have no sins. Whether you're baptized or not. Look, there are people that get baptized in a church like this, in fundamental Baptist churches, that die and go to hell because they never believed. And then, of course, there's people that never come to a good church. They get saved. They never do anything for God. They never get baptized, and they go to heaven. You say, why? Because it comes down to what you believe, not based on what you do. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, referring to receiving Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the Bible says you can become a son of God. You can become a child of God. If you have to become a child of God, is everybody in this world one of God's children? No. Because the Bible says you must become a son of God. You must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look, not everybody is a child of God. The Bible says that when you get saved, you get born again, born into God's family. And you become a child of God. And then you enter into the family of God. Now, you might not be part of a church body, but if you're saved, you're part of the family of God. Now, of course, when it comes to a family can live all over the world, and they're still part of the same family. Being part of a body, you've got to be here together, because the body is intact. But when you get saved, you become a son or a daughter of God. You are now a child of God. What that shows is you're not born a child of God. Now, a baby that dies goes to heaven because they haven't reached that age of accountability, as we would say. But when they reach that age, they must be born again. That's what the Bible teaches. And you do that by receiving Jesus, which at the end of this verse, it says, even to them that believe on his name. So what does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? It means to believe on him. It means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Because this statement, receiving Jesus Christ, that is actually a biblical statement. So if you talk to people about soul winning, well, what do you have to do to be saved? You've got to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's actually 100% a correct answer. However, when people say that and you say, well, what does that mean? Sometimes they'll be like, I don't know. Because it's a statement that people make, right? It doesn't necessarily mean people understand. I mean, a lot of people would say, yeah, you've got to be born again. How do you do that? By getting baptized? You know, I don't know, right? But the statement is correct, receiving Jesus Christ, but the Bible defines that as by believing on his name. That's how you get saved. And then it says here in verse 13, which were born. Now when it says which were born, it's saying which were born again, because the context is becoming a son of God. This is not about the physical birth, it's about the spiritual birth. So how are you born again into God's family? Not of blood. What does that mean? Doesn't matter what your mom or your dad believe. Well, I know I'm going to heaven because my dad's a preacher. You can split hell wide open regardless of what your parents believe. Because it comes down to what you believe. it's not about your blood. It's not about what your parents believe. I'm just guessing that most people in this room that are adults, your parents probably aren't saved. Now, I don't know, because I don't know, I'm not taking a poll here, but I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room that would say, hey, my parents aren't saved. But that doesn't mean that you're not saved. At the same time, your parents might be saved. That doesn't mean that you are saved. Because it's not of blood. It doesn't matter what your parents believe. Right? I mean, your father could be, or your mother could be like, I don't know, some Muslim, you know, preacher or whatever. It's like your father could be the Pope. It doesn't mean that you're not saved, right? Because it comes down to what you believe. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh is your personal choices that you make. It's not based on what you do. You didn't die for your sins. You can't pay for your sins. You can believe on the one who did pay for your sins, but it's not the will of the flesh. Getting baptized is you making that decision. It's not the will of the flesh, though. It's by believing on his name. Then it says, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those last two ones, the will of the flesh and the will of man, these are both associated with baptism. Because the will of the flesh is your personal choices that you make, and the will of man is like man's decree, like somebody else, right? So for example, if somebody wants to get baptized, I've got to make the decision yes. You say, I want to get baptized, and it's like, you know what, if I said no, then, well, there's no baptism, right? But see, salvation does not come down to your personal choice or the choice of others in terms of what you do. It comes down to what you believe, okay? Turn your Bible to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And think about how foolish this is, because at a lot of churches, they don't have a place to do baptisms. I mean, if there's a small church with a small space, I mean, if you visit in Pampanga, we don't have a place to do baptisms. I mean, you know, outside the church, there's this extremely dirty, like, you know, creek, you know, right near the church. I'm not doing baptisms there, right? We don't have a place inside the church because it's too small. It wouldn't make sense to have a big place to do baptisms. That's the case at a lot of churches. They don't have a place. So what if you get saved and you want to get baptized and then you can't find a place to do baptisms? Well, that means you're going to go to hell. Do you see how ridiculous that is? It comes down to what you believe, not based on what you do. Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So first it says it's the gift of God. It's like, well, I got this gift for you for Christmas. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, but you have to get baptized. Is that a gift? No, it's not. A gift means it's 100% free for the receiver. Now, of course, the gift of eternal life is the most expensive gift that has ever been paid for. Because the only thing that would pay for it is the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's free for the receiver of the gift. Right? It is a gift, and it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So nobody can boast or brag about their salvation because it's not based on their works. Look, if baptism got you to heaven, you could be up in heaven and say, you know what? I'm in heaven because I got baptized and they didn't. Because I made that choice. My works. Look at my baptism. That's why I deserve to be here. But actually, nobody deserves to go to heaven. And everybody's going to say, I'm in heaven simply because I believed. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it, I didn't work for it, but I believe. Nobody can boast about their salvation because it's not based on what we do. It is 100% a gift. Now, if you're saved, this is obvious to you. You know this. But is that obvious to most of the Philippines? No. We talk to people about soul winning. What do you have to do to go to heaven? You never know what they're going to say. Right? Live a good life, get baptized, go to church, you know, keep the sacraments. I mean, there's a million things that they might say. But it's like, actually, nobody can boast in their salvation because it's not based on what we do. It's the fact that Jesus died for us, right? And then it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, obviously, we have free will, but at the same time, when you get saved, God has a plan for your life. He has things that he wants you to do. So after salvation, he said he's creating Christ Jesus onto good works. Where God says, hey, you got saved. Now, here's what I want you to do. Step one, get baptized. Step two, start coming to church, right? And then read the Bible and all of these things. Well, here's the thing. Baptism is a work. We're not saved by works. But after you get saved, God wants you to do good works. And one of the things he's created on you onto is to be baptized, okay? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. And I'll just be honest with you. I have never met anybody in my life. I'm not saying they don't exist. But I've never met anybody that was a zealous Christian that had not been baptized. Now, maybe there's somebody out there, but I've never met them. Everybody I know that is really serving God has been baptized. And if there's exceptions, I would say most likely because they live in an area where they have nobody to baptize them. That's what I would say. Because people that, you know, are zealously serving God, the first step is to get baptized. It's the first thing God says, hey, I want you to get baptized. So it's kind of like once people hear that, if they want to serve God and they learn that, then they get baptized. I've been saved for about 8 months, and I didn't know, but I started to read the Bible. I was trying to do what was right, and when I was shown this in the Bible, it's like, oh, yeah, when can I be baptized? It's like I didn't know I was supposed to, but since I wanted to serve God, I got baptized, right? Because if you don't follow the first step, is it logical you're going to follow the next step or the next step or the next step? It really starts with getting baptized. Basically, coming to church, getting baptized, those things are kind of associated. That's kind of the first step, right? Bible says, well, point number one, baptism is a work. Point two, baptism happens after salvation. After salvation, not to be saved, but after you are saved, that is when you get baptized. Acts 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so this Ethiopian eunuch, he hears the word of God from Philip. He hears about salvation. And then they come across water, and he's like, what is stopping or hindering me from being baptized? Okay. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, there is a soul-winning conversation in Acts chapter 8, and we don't really know how long the conversation's been going on. I would personally presume that the Ethiopian eunuch has already gotten saved, and he's still talking about the Bible with him. And then they go by water, and he's saying, hey, what's stopping me from being baptized? And then, of course, he says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart. And then he says, even though I believe he's already probably gotten saved, he's saying, hey, what you have to do is believe. And he says, I believe. It's like, there's no doubt about what you said. I believe it. I got saved. I believe this. I know this. And then, of course, in verse 38, he baptizes him. Now, what's interesting is that in verse 36, he says, what's stopping me from being baptized? If somebody came to you and said, hey, I'd like to get baptized at your church. Let's say your coworker says, hey, can I get baptized at your church? Or your friend or your neighbor that you grew up with says, I'd like to get baptized at your church. What would you tell them? You'd say, if you believe, right? Do you want me to show you what the Bible says? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Because, of course, they have to believe. Now, what's interesting is, in modern versions of the Bible, verse 37 is gone. So in verse 36, what's stopping me from being baptized? And he baptizes him. It's like, well, there's nothing you have to do to be baptized. You can be baptized no matter what you believe. I mean, a Muslim shows up, let's baptize him. But Brother Stucky, he doesn't believe. Who cares? It's like, I mean, in Acts 8, what do I have to do to be baptized? And he baptizes him. I'll baptize Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, whatever. Is that what the Bible says? No, what the Bible says is, if thou believest, you must believe. And if you don't believe, you can't be baptized. Now look, I have been a part of a couple uncomfortable situations where someone wanted to get baptized and I had to say no. That's never fun. Right? You know, the two examples I can think of is in West Virginia, when I was at a church, and you know, I worked on the bus routes to bring kids to church, and so, you know, we came up with this idea because, you know, you have all these kids coming to church, and of course you're preaching the gospel like every week to these kids on the bus, and it's hard to tell when they get saved at a young age. And, you know, we talked to the pastor, and we said, maybe what we could do is have, like, a baptism day, and then, because you have to get approval from the parents. You can't just baptize a kid. It's illegal. So you have to get approval. And so we're like, maybe we could come up with a day and tell that to their parents, and then we can line up all the kids that want to get baptized. And it worked great. We had, like, 15 baptisms or something like that. But I remember one of the kids wanted to get baptized, because his kuya and his ate and all of his relatives are getting baptized. But the kid was 6 years old. He really, really, really wanted to get baptized. And, you know, this kid, you know, he loved me. He would always sit by me on the bus. I'd give him the gospel. And, you know, he just wasn't getting it. I mean, and then I could tell he knew the answers, so he's trying to trick me that he got saved. Because we're getting closer to the day. I'm saying, no, you can't. And I remember we did the baptisms. And, you know, they're lining up to get baptized. And, you know, I closed my eyes. The pastor's, you know, praying. And I saw that kid had gone to the front with one of the other church members that I guess didn't really know what was going on. And I was thinking, great. I walk. And, I, you know, you're in this situation. What do I do? Should I just let him get baptized? Or should I go to the front? And, you know, I went to the front. And I was just, I told the person, like, actually, you know what? We tried to talk to him. He didn't get saved. This kid hated me for, like, 6 months. And what's funny is, you know, he doesn't get baptized. He ends up getting saved a few months later, and he refused to get baptized because he was still, like, bitter and angry about it. I mean, eventually he forgave me, but I was like, I was the bad guy. And then there's another situation at Verity in Sacramento where if somebody showed up to get baptized, I would check their salvation beforehand. Somebody showed up from over an hour away from San Francisco. They came to be baptized. So I assumed that they were saved, but of course I check it with them. Turns out they weren't saved. They heard some of the sermons, and I guess they liked the preaching, but they weren't saved. And then I tried to say it in as nice of a way possible. I said, well, actually, we believe that, you know, you must believe it's a free gift and it's eternal. He's like, look, if you're not going to let me get baptized, tell me now. And he's like already really, really angry with me. And then all of a sudden, like, he got really mad, and him and his girlfriend, they stormed out of church. And he's messaging one of the people at church that I guess he knew. And he called me the baptism gatekeeper. And he said he was going to beat me up at the pearly gates. And I'm just like, look, it's never a comfortable situation. It's never happened here. But if somebody's coming to get baptized and they don't believe, but here's the thing. I believe with all my heart, you must believe first. And so we're not going to baptize people that don't believe. Right? You have to believe. Right? You have to be saved. Right? So the Bible says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are happy to baptize anybody that's saved. Anybody that believes, we are happy to baptize them, but they must believe. Now, I would say this, that if you have children that are very young, it's like, you know what, you really want to test that and make sure they get it. Like, my oldest son is at that age where it's like, you really want to make sure that they get it at a young age, because obviously a kid can say a prayer without necessarily understanding it. But look, if they fully believe and they're saved and there's no questions, then yeah, we're happy to baptize somebody. Because if thou believest, thou mayest, right? Turn your Bible to Acts 16. Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. And in Acts 16, we have a very famous story in Acts 16, verse 30, where it says here, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What is required for me to be saved from hell? What do I have to do to go to heaven? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, when he's saying in thy house, what he's saying is, hey, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. And the same is true for anybody in your house. Anybody that believes is saved. Right? And so I believe Paul says this in a way where he gets the opportunity to preach to the whole house. And of course, he ends up preaching to the whole house. Obviously, the whole conversation is more than just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because one thing that you can notice is they said, did they both say simultaneously, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? I would say that both of them are preaching the gospel to him. Obviously, if you've got a family, if you talk to a large group, what do you often do as soul winners? Kind of divide, like this person talks to this group, this talks to the other. But the summation of what they said is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So everybody in the house hears the word of God. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Straightway means immediately. So all of them get baptized. Now, I've heard people say, well, how do you know there wasn't a baby in the house? Huh? I mean, you say that babies can't get baptized. How do you know there wasn't a baby in the house? Well, that might sound good until you read the next verse. Because notice what it says in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Can a baby believe? Nope. So look, I don't know how old the youngest person in that house was, but they were all old enough to believe. And look, no newborn, no one-year-old, no two-year-old, no three-year-old is going to believe this. They're not old enough to believe. Now, they still go to heaven, but they're not old enough to believe on Jesus Christ for their salvation. They just don't get it at that age. It's too young. None of us, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much you knew, nobody, at least in my opinion, below the age of 4 is going to be old enough to believe. And I think for most people, it's going to take probably several more years to fully get it. And so here's the thing. We know that everybody in this house that got baptized believed, because the Bible says everybody believed. Believing in God with all his house. And so how old were they? We don't know. How many were they? We don't know. But we know that everybody at that house believed, and that's why they were baptized. And if somebody did not believe, you know what? They wouldn't have baptized them. Why? Because you have to believe first. Turn your Bible to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. So here's the thing. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, like I said, 8 months after I got saved, well, I got baptized as a baby. And if that's what you think right now, no, you didn't. Because baptism happens after you get saved. I didn't grow up Catholic, but I grew up Protestant. And they also baptize you as a baby. They put a few sprinkles of water on your head. Well, you got to be baptized after you're saved. I would say probably most people in this room got baptized as a baby. But that's not baptism. Because baptism happens after you are saved. Right? And look, it would be a foolish thing to be stubborn and say, well, I'm not going to get baptized again. I was baptized as a baby. I mean, come on. Obviously, you weren't saved as a baby. It's like everybody takes that step. Yeah, you got to kind of humble yourself to get baptized because people see it. People know it. But it's like, you know what? It's like all of us have been through it. It's like if you have not been baptized since you were a baby and you're saved now, it's like get baptized. Because baptism as a baby means nothing. Right? Now, of course, you still go to heaven whether you get baptized or not. But, and look, I used to have a friend in college, and he refused to get baptized for a couple years. I don't know why. We're just like, and he grew up Catholic. But it's like, yeah, but you're Baptist now. And then whenever we try to bring it up, he's like, I don't care, I'm not going to get baptized. He's like, God knows my heart, he knows I love, but he refused to get baptized. We're like, what are you doing? It's like, it's going to get more embarrassing as you get older. Just get baptized now. Right? And so baptism happens after salvation. Point number 3, baptism is by immersion. Baptism, you go fully in the water, okay? Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway, which means immediately, straightway out of the water. He went out of the water. What does that mean? It means he was in the water. Look, there'd be no point to walk in water if all of a sudden you just have water poured on your head. And look, there are pictures out there. There are videos of Jesus, animated videos, walking in the water with John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist pours water on his head. You're like, what? It's like, what are you talking about? There's denominations. That's how they do baptism. You walk out in the water, and then water's poured on your head. And it's like, that. Why? Because he came out of the water, I think it's pretty obvious that, well, he was probably in the water, because what's the point of getting wet if it means nothing, if it does nothing? We'll explain why in a second. But when it's saying he's out of the water, it's saying that he was in the water before that, right? Go to John 3. John 3. Now look, I would say that during these days, when you would go on a journey, you're probably going to bring water, right? I mean, that's probably the number one thing that you're going to be bringing is water. Look, you don't have to turn there, but I don't think that in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch's like, oh, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? It's like, no, they're driving by, and all of a sudden it's like there's a big body of water. Otherwise, like, ah, see, here's water. That bottle you were drinking earlier, what's stopping me from being baptized? Right? I mean, that's ridiculous. They're going by water. They see a large body of water because you have to be immersed in the water. You have to go fully in the water. Right? John 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem. Why was he baptizing there? Because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Look, if you don't need a lot of water, if you're not being immersed, then you could just use this. And here's the thing, you know, we could really increase our baptisms at our church if we just said three drops counts. One drop for God the Father, one drop for God the Son, one drop for God the Holy Ghost. I mean, literally, it's like salvation. I mean, most people that are willing to pray and get saved, can I put three drops of water in your head? Sure, right? I think it's kind of weird, but go for it, right? We get like 50 baptized every Sunday. So look, if it wasn't by immersion, that would be great for us because we'd really increase our baptisms. That's not baptism. John went where there was much water. Why? Because he had to put them in the water. That's a requirement for baptism. Baptism is by immersion. Right? This is what the Bible says. Go to Acts 8. Acts 8. Let's look at the story again. Acts 8. Now, it's interesting because we talked about baptism is after salvation. And it's interesting because the Greek Orthodox Church, obviously the New Testament was written in Greek, right? So if anybody would be an expert on that language, it would be the Greeks, because obviously they speak Greek, or at least back then, you know, everyone spoke Greek. They knew the Word of God. It was in their language. Well, I mean, here's the thing. When it comes to baptism, the word baptizo means to immerse, to go fully in the water. This is why in the Greek Orthodox Church, they baptized by immersion. Now, what's funny about this, or interesting, is they baptized babies. But they do it by immersion. They fully put the babies in the water. Now, I'm just thinking, I'm glad that you understand the word baptizo means to immerse, and you do it by immersion, but where did you find a baby getting baptized in the Bible? Now, they split off from the Catholic Church, you know, as I said, the Great Schism with the Orthodox and Catholic Church. So they kept a lot of those traditions, but with baptism, they do it by immersion because they said, well, the Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament originally. It means to immerse. That's just what it means. And so they baptize by immersion, but they do it to babies. So if you've ever seen these videos on YouTube, I mean, who's seen an Orthodox baby baptism before? Right? I mean, a lot of people here, it is part of you wants to laugh, but part of you really feels sorry for the baby. Like, I think it's probably very dangerous. And they do it three times, I guess, for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But what's interesting is most of the parents don't seem to know how they do baptisms, because you'll see fathers and mothers and they are shocked because they take the baby and it's like, and they do like a double dip. I don't really get it. Where it's like in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and they fully slam those babies in the water and they do it three times. And it's like, what are you doing? Right? I mean, it's literally one of the most brutal things. I mean, sometimes you see the fathers in those videos and they're about ready to, like, you know, choke the priest. They were like really angry because they didn't realize how brutal it was. Now, look, obviously they have a lot of weird traditions with their baptism, but they're right on immersion because that's what baptizo means. But here's the thing. We don't have to go back to the Greek to understand that. Because John baptized where there was much water. Jesus straightway came up out of the water. Well, how do you know he didn't walk in the water and have water poured on your head? Well, we're going to know in the fourth point as it is anyway, but that's just a stupid argument, right? Obviously, if you go out in the water, it's because you're getting, you know, fully submerged in the water. It says in Acts 8, verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Once again, it wasn't like, hey, here's water. No, they went into the water. both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, I would say that the Ethiopian eunuch would have reason to not want to get baptized. You say, why? Well, it's not really convenient if you're on a long trip to get baptized and be wet and have to change your clothes. I'm assuming he had a change of clothes with him. But it's inconvenient. And you know what? Obviously, it's not a major inconvenience, but there's a little inconvenience with baptism because you get wet, you got to have a towel, you got to prepare the water and these things. Look, if we could do baptism by just putting a couple sprinkles on the head, we'd do that. It'd be a lot easier. It'd be a lot more convenient. But we don't do that. You say, well, why? Because the Bible is very specific. And look, people have this idea, well, we can just do what the Bible says, but kind of do it in whatever way we want. There are churches that they baptize you however you want. They'll baptize you as a baby with a couple sprinkles, pouring, dunking, whatever. Or they'll baptize you as an adult. I mean, if you just want to walk out in the water and have 3 drops in your head, go for it. They'll do whatever you want. Look, we're not, what is it? You know, Burger King's motto, have it your way. That's not the way church works, my friend. It's not have it your way. It's do it the Bible way. Do what the Bible says. Whether you understand it or not. When I got baptized, and this was explained to me by the pastor, but here's the thing. When he showed me I should get baptized, I did not understand why. Point 4 will tell you why. I didn't understand why. I just saw, well, that's what you do, so sure, I'll do it. I mean, I see that in Acts 8. I see that in Acts 16. They got baptized after they get saved, so I'll get baptized. I didn't know why, but it's like, you know what? You don't have to know why for every single thing. You just do what God says. If you know exactly what God says and you don't fully understand why, you do it anyway. Now, of course, it's my job to tell you not only what to believe, but why you believe it. And you should strive to know everything, not just what you believe, but why do you believe this? Of course, as you're raising kids, you don't want them just to follow out of obedience without understanding. Get them to follow out of obedience, but then explain to them why you do these things. Now, obviously, at certain ages, they're not going to get it, right? Like a young child, they want ice cream for breakfast. They're not going to understand the concept of a dentist at that age. But then as they get older, you want to teach them this. Well, if you do this, you're going to be going to the dentist all the time. You're going to get all these cavities. And then they start understanding why you said. It's the same thing with God. Maybe you understand what to do before you understand why. Well, do it. And then maybe a few years down the line, you're going to understand, okay, this is why. And I'd say many things I believe in the Bible, I understood what to do before I understood why. And now I can say, hey, I do understand that. The Bible's very clear. It is after salvation and by immersion. But why? Well, because point 4, baptism is a picture. Baptism is a picture. A picture of what? Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. The Bible uses the terminology being buried, right? Look, if you go to a cemetery, a graveyard, where bodies are buried, I'm not really a fan of graveyards, you know, but if you go there, there's already a bit of an eerie feeling, and I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm trying to help you understand what the Bible's saying. If you're walking in the graveyard, and then there's one grave where the arm is sticking out of the ground, I'm just saying it's like, I don't consider myself that superstitious, but I'm running. I'm just getting out there. It'd be weird, right? You see a leg sticking out of the ground, you'd be like, whoa, what is this, right? I mean, I'm out of there. Right? I mean, that's strange. Because when somebody's buried, it means they're fully under the ground. Right? That's what burial means. I mean, when the Bible says Jesus was buried, it means he was under the ground. He doesn't have part of his body, like, sticking out of the ground. That's not a burial. And it's the same way with baptism, where, you know, when someone's baptized, because here's the thing, well, why can't you just walk out in the water and have water poured on your head? Because that's not a burial. Right? Here's the thing. Why is this a picture? What is God trying to tell you? Because here's the thing. You get baptized after you're saved as a show of what you believe. And being baptized shows people, I believe. You believe what? That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, you can get baptized without showing anybody. You can be saved without showing anybody. You don't have to get baptized at all. And you're saved. But if you want to serve God, you're not ashamed to say, hey, you know what? I'm saved also. I'm going to show the world that I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. I believe that. I know I'm going to heaven. So what baptism is a picture of salvation, and it's a picture of what Jesus did. It's not the actual salvation, but it's a picture of it. Be like, for example, if you saw a picture of my kids on my Facebook, that's not my kids. It's a picture. Now, it's a picture of what they look like, but it's not the real thing, right? But it is a picture of it. And so people, and you say, well, Brother Stuckey, when I look at a picture of your kids, it looks just like your kids. Yeah, because it's an accurate picture of my kids. And here's the thing. People look at baptism, and they see these lengths, like it's mentioned in the context of salvation in a few places. They say, well, that's because it's a picture of salvation. It's not the actual salvation, though, because there's 100 verses, more than 100, that's believe, 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 believe. But it is a picture of the salvation. And so at a burial, you go fully under the ground. And what you're doing is showing the world, I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Right? You know, it was funny because let me show you this next part here. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when a person gets saved, they should walk in newness of life, but of course they have free will. When you get baptized, you're making a choice to serve God, so you should walk in newness of life. It's not a guarantee. But if you're making that first step to obey God, you're kind of making a decision in your heart, I'm going to try to start serving God. Of course, you don't have to do that to be saved, but it means that, hey, you should walk in newness of life. God did so much for me, I should strive to serve him. Now, it's interesting because it talks about the burial and resurrection in verse 4, and I was thinking about this during the sermon yesterday in Pampanga. It just came into my head. I was thinking about Jehovah's Witnesses, if they are honest about what they believe, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And so if they were honest about what they believe at a baptism, it's like, we believe in the death, burial, and they just hold them under. Because they don't believe in the resurrection. I'd be like, you know, so why would they do a baptism? It doesn't make any sense because they don't believe in the resurrection. But when we're getting baptized, when you get baptized in that water, what are you saying? You're saying, you know what, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Right? Now look, and I get it. It's not like our water's the greatest water in the world. You might be like Naaman, like, aren't the waters here better than these, right? But it's just like you're just showing that you believe. Whether or not you get baptized. Now, I prefer baptizing in a swimming pool. It's just a whole lot easier, right? And people have been baptized in different places, and that's perfectly fine. What matters is under the water, and of course come out if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, right? And don't worry, don't be afraid. It's like everybody I've baptized, I brought back up, okay? Because we also believe in the resurrection, right? So baptism is a picture. It's a picture of a burial, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, you know, death, burial, and resurrection. Then it says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so when it mentions the death part, it mentions planting. Now look, I am not a farmer. I am not an expert at growing trees or whatever, but here's the little knowledge I have. You know, you're not going to be very successful if you just take a few seeds and put them out in the middle of the street there. Because they've got to be buried in the ground. When you plant something, you put it under the ground. It's like, you know, hey, Mom, look at what I planted. And then it's like on top of the ground. It's like, well, it's not really planted. It's got to be under the ground, right? And so the Bible mentions a burial and a planting. And what does that show? It shows it's by immersion. And I think it's very obvious from when Jesus got baptized coming up out of the water and the Ethiopian eunuch out of the water and John baptizing where there is much water. But if there's any debate about that in your mind, well, it's a burial and a planting. So the Bible's very clear. When you do baptism, it's not just whatever you want. No, it is by immersion. That is what the Bible teaches. Turn your Bible to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. You know, another good way I've heard this explained, and probably the best way I've heard is, you know, with like a wedding ring, right? There's no doubt, you know, I'm married. What if I take this off right now? Am I married? Yes. It's not like when you take your wedding ring off, oh, whoops, I'm not married anymore. Because this is what? It is a symbol. It is a picture. This is not officially you being married. I mean, you can be married without a wedding ring. You don't have to wear a wedding ring to be married. You can legally get married without a wedding ring. But this is a picture. So if you go out in public, someone says, okay, you're married. Right? It's a picture. But this is not actually me being married. It's just me saying that I am married. Right? I mean, look, if this equaled a divorce, it's like I could break a record right now for most divorces in one lifetime. Right? And like, I'm not going to do it like 40 times because there's some Baptist pastor in the U.S. that got divorced like 50 times, and I don't want to do this 50 times. But you get my point. It's like this is not determined whether or not I'm married. It is just merely a symbol that I am married. And when you get baptized, that's not your salvation. But you're showing people that you are saved. You're showing people that you do believe, right? So point one, baptism is a work. Point two, baptism happens after salvation. Point three, it is by immersion. Point four, baptism is a picture. It's not the salvation, but it is a picture of salvation. And it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point five, unrelated to baptism, but I just want to briefly mention the Trinity because it's found here at the end of these verses. Obviously, I talked about this last week. But Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So he immediately comes out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So the Bible says the Spirit of God descending upon him. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Now look, in my opinion, when it says the Holy Spirit of God descending like a dove, it's not saying you see a dove from above, you know, come upon Jesus. I think it's descending in the same manner that a dove would, but I don't think it's saying it's in the shape of a dove or it looks like a dove or it was a dove, in my opinion. I think it's saying, like a dove, it descends in the same manner that a dove would descend. You know, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And then it says in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, the voice from heaven is coming from who? God the Father, because he says, this is my beloved Son. So you have God the Holy Ghost, God the Son, and God the Father all mentioned there, which are the three persons in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One God that eternally exists in three persons. Now, I do want to say this in closing about baptism. Because, quite honestly, you know, we've had a lot of baptisms recently. It's been very exciting. We have a baptism coming up here in just 15 minutes. We've had three, you know, really quick in the last 4 or 5 weeks or whatever. But, you know, quite honestly, I have not really focused on baptism very much recently in the last couple years. I mean, I really haven't made any sort of push to bring new people to church. And you say, why, Brother Stuckey? Look, because we're already packed. It has not really been a focus of mine. Now, a few years ago, remember we did church visiting competitions, church baptism, trying whatever, right? Just trying whatever to try to, you know, bring more people to church. And, you know, God is slowly blessed. And quite honestly, you know, I don't know how many people we have in here, but we have a packed crowd today. Right, and most Sundays we are a packed crowd, even on a small day. Like last week was a very light day; doesn't really feel that light because there's still plenty of people. Right, we have grown quite a bit as a church, so I have not really focused on bringing people to church for a while, or on getting people baptized for a while. Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, obviously, you know, I mentioned in the group chat. I think most people are aware that we did recently buy a church lot, and we still have to build the building. But when we end up moving in that location, we are going to have more room. You know what that means? It means we're going to really try to focus on getting people that we get saved to come to church that know nothing about fundamental Baptist. I mean, you say, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. They're like, what? Their first question is, what's a Baptist? They don't even know that. I mean, a common question people ask you is, what's the difference between Baptist and Catholic? Have you not heard that question a million times? Right? And so here's the thing. That's actually good when you have new people at church that are just not familiar with things because they're growing, they're learning, and that is going to be a big focus of ours of trying to follow up on converts, bring them to church. And of course, I have ideas in my head and methods that we're going to try. But the reason being, because we're going to have a lot of space for new people. I don't just want an empty room. Right? We want to grow. I mean, we're packed in this room, but we're still able to have church here at this size. But our goal is to grow as a church so we can get more people saved, more soul winners, more churches started. And so there is going to be a shift once we do end up moving there because we're going to have the space for it. And what I would say is that all of us should in our own hearts say, yeah, you know what, I want to bring new people to church. And look, obviously, try to bring people to church now. I'm not telling you not to. But I'm just saying once we move there, we're really going to try to reach people, especially in that local community. We get people saved there. We'll try to follow up. We'll try to bring them to church. We'll try to get them baptized because we want people that are completely new, that know nothing about the Bible. They just got saved. They're confused about a lot of stuff. But, because here's the thing. When I first got saved, I didn't have a Baptist background. This is how much I knew about the Bible. And here's the thing. There are unsaved people that live in this area that if they got saved and they started coming to church, they would end up serving God. And it could surprise you too, because you know what? People, honestly, they come from every single background. But there are people that on the inside of their own heart, they want to do right. They want to serve God, and we want to reach those people. And as the Bible says, in the Great Commission, which is later on in the book of Matthew, it's like you get them saved, but it's like teaching them to observe all things. It's like, how do I teach them to observe all things? Getting them to church. And as they hear the Word of God, they're going to hear the things found in the Bible. So this will be a big focus of our church once we move over there to baptize more converts and get new people to come to church. Anyway, honestly, that is something that makes church very exciting. When you have new visitors, when new people come to church that are just new and you reach them, it's like, man, how'd you hear about the church? Well, you know, brother so-and-so invited me to church yesterday. That's exciting when you hear that, right? Sister so, it's exciting because obviously most people we get saved are not going to come to church. We understand that. And so I'll tell you what, one way to really keep the excitement in church is when you reach new people. And what can take place is if you've been saved for a while, you can help them grow as you take them out soul winning. They ask very basic questions about the Bible, and you explain, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what we believe. That is our goal as a church. Now, look, I'm very happy with how our church has grown, and I believe we've been blessed as a church, and things are going great. And, of course, that's the reason why we need a new building, right? Because we have grown. But I am saying that, hey, once we go over there, the work's not finished. It's like, okay, well, now let's start bringing people to church. Because we want to reach people that are brand new, they know nothing about the Bible, but we can teach them to observe all things. And look, maybe some of you have been Baptist for a long time before you were saved, or you grew up in church or whatever, but there are plenty of people in this room that you got saved and you knew nothing about the Bible, just like me, when I got saved. And it's exciting to see people that are new at church and they just start to slowly learn and start to get involved, start to come soul winning, start to get involved in fellowship. Those things are what make a church exciting. A healthy church will always be reaching new people. And if we want to be a healthy church, we got to reach new people, right? But anyways, what the Bible says about baptism is after salvation. It is not for salvation. It's after salvation by immersion. And it is a picture of the salvation, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but it is not the actual salvation. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here as a church, and I ask you to help us as a church to bring more people to church that we get saved, get more converts baptized, and I ask you to help as we eventually move over to the new building, God, to have the extra space to reach even more people via soul winning and more people in the community, God, and ask you to help bring us more people so we can have more labors into the harvest, more people soul winning, God, more people serving you. Ask you to continue to bless our church and all the families and people that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tayo po yung muling umawit. Punta po tayo sa hymn number 261. Sa makapal po nating hymnal, punta po tayo sa hymn number 261. Hymn number 261, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. First stanza po tayo. Oh soul, are you weary? First hands are ready. Sing. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for our look at the Savior and life. Amen. We're dismissed.